Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Can I get a oh yeah? Oh yeah?
Oh dude, I'm tired as shit. I've been trying to wake up early for God knows how long. I was reading old journal entries weekend before last, and I got an entry of myself talking about how I wanted to be up before 5 a.m. back in like 2020. Haven't been able to do it. Just haven't. And then I went into the Claude AI, C-L-A-U-D-E. It's a very special language learning model. I use it to code, stuff like that. But I went into it yesterday, and I just told it. I was like, hey, these are all the things that I want to get done on a day-to-day basis. These are all the things that I feel I'm responsible for. And work with the podcast, even training, you know, like everything. Just spent some time, sat down, had a little talk with the Claude AI, and one thing with the AI that I've found at least lately that helps you get a good response out of it. Is like yesterday, I'm looking for help on structuring my schedule. So I tell it, I say, you are my business consultant. These are all the things I want to get done. You, as my business consultant, I even give it a name sometimes. I think I gave him the name Harold yesterday. I said, you are my business consultant, Harold. These are all the things I want to be able to get done on a day-to-day basis. Help me lay out a day-to-day schedule with color coding on my Google Calendar based on category on what to get done with my day or how to execute it. And it spat out a schedule that spans from, basically what it told me was, in order to get all the things done every day that you want to get done, you got to be up at 4:30 a.m. I was like, shit, that's a lot of stuff, man. But it was so eye-opening to see how much time your boy really needs to get stuff, to get everything I want to get done each day done, and do so in an organized and timely manner. Okay, time management is not Dupe Dog's strong suit. It's not. All my buddies will tell you, like, you tell Dupe the function's at 7, he gonna get there at 7:30. It's not a trait I'm proud of. It's not. But it's just what it is. And so I gotta use tools like this to, you know, continually get better at it. And I think I am. So your boy, knowing that the only way to get everything Dupe wants to get done in a day, just popped up at 4:30 this morning, cold turkey. And anybody who's watching this, I need y'all on my head every week, making sure I'm consistent. I'm tired as she right now. And I feel like it's really easy to get caught up in how you're feeling right this second. Got to broaden the horizons a little bit and think about it in terms of a week-long plan, two-week-long plan, month-long plan. If I'm consistent popping up at 4:30 in the morning, 2 hours before the sun's up, maybe an hour with daylight savings time, I'm still not completely sure whether it'll be darker longer in the morning or darker quicker in the morning, if that's even a correct phrase. But all that to say, your boy's tired of shit. So we got to use words. We're here to use words. We get to be here to use words. But anyway, I asked ChatGPT, "You are the producer of my podcast." This is what I said to it. "You're the producer of my podcast. Come up with 5 to 8 hypothetical questions that will engage viewers and generate views to open the show. They do not have to be about sports or MMA." For some reason, ChatGPT, maybe it's based off the chats I've had with it before. I asked it this question without that last line. You know, they don't have to be about sports or MMA. The first one I asked, it was all about NFL and MMA. And those questions weren't bad. Some of them were like cheese ball questions, you know, like who's the greatest player of all time or something. It's like, you know, Tom Brady. Like, you know, but these ones aren't bad. Once I kind of clear, that's the thing with the AI, like I was saying, you got to kind of clarify exactly what you want. And if you put it in a certain role, like y'all notice how I said, "You are the producer of my podcast," it typically solicits more interesting responses. So let's pick a random one here. "Do you believe people can genuinely change, or are we all just living out versions of the same story with minor edits?" Hell yeah, people can change. It's about the willingness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the main barrier to change with people is not knowing how to prioritize exactly what and being conscious of what needs to change. I don't know if I do that myself sometimes. You know, it's like first you got to identify what areas you're coming up short in. Secondly, you got to identify of those areas that you're coming up short in as a human, what area is the most important to change now? What's the priority? Most folks, myself included, probably don't get through those first two steps effectively most of the time. Now, if a behavior or a problem created by behavior is so painful that the pain of changing is lesser than the pain of staying the same, then you got something. Then you're playing with house money. Because when you got nothing to lose, it's basically like the best time to take risk. So you think about it. If you went to a casino and they told you, yeah, you can play craps for free until you start winning, I'd do that. You know what I mean? Like, so I kind of went off on a rail there, but I think people can change. I think people are way more powerful than they perceive themselves to be. I think the main barrier to effectively changing into the type of person you want to be is not the actual act of making the change. It is understanding what needs to change and then prioritizing what I need to change first, because you're not going to be able to change 3 to 5 things about yourself all at once. Maybe some. I mean, here's the thing about multitasking is a lot of folks say they're good at multitasking, but they're really just good at task switching, quickly switching back and forth tasks. I mean, I don't know. I think there's things that I'd like to be better at that I think about when I'm meditating, when I'm practicing in the morning or whenever I do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, different things you can visualize doing better and kind of changing yourself from the inside out. It's a law of physics that we can change. We can even change our own genes, from what I understand. I don't know all the specifics about it, but anyway, what else? Okay. Okay, we'll do one more AI prompt and then we'll get into football for the week. So I asked AI this. I was listening to a Hormozy podcast earlier. It was really good. So I just went on a whim. I said, "You are Alex Hormozy. Come up with a few questions that you would ask me if you were a guest on my podcast. What's the biggest turning point you've had in your career where everything just clicked? What led up to that moment?" I remember when I was with the Colts on the sales team, on the inside sales team, my revenue numbers were kind of slowing down a little bit. And so our VP set up some time with me to come into his office. We used to do something called live sales calls. He set up some time with me to come into his office to do live calls. Now, the thing about live calls is that cold calling, or even if it's not cold, if you're calling someone in general and they know it's a sales call, it's already nerve-wracking. Now factor in that somebody else is listening, critiquing, and maybe judging the way you're carrying yourself on that sales call. So there's that component. Then you factor in that it was my VP. So this wasn't my boss. This was my boss's boss that wanted to listen to me, a lowly inside sales rep, come in and try and do my thing. And so I picked a Facebook lead. I remember the Facebook leads were the creme de la creme in inside sales. They were folks that had gone on Facebook, raised their hand and said, "Yes, I'm interested in Indianapolis Colts season tickets." So I was like, all right, I'm gonna pick one of these hot ones. I had never spoken to the person before. I call him up. Conversation opens good, starts flowing good. And boy, would you believe, I'm sitting in there with my boss's boss, door closed in his office, spitting. And this was like, you know, 4 to 6 months in. I hadn't really done any selling at all before I got in this job. It was 4 to 6 months in, and it was day in, day out, 60 to 80 to 100 phone calls a day.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And I got the sale on that one call. Open to close. Open, didn't know the guy. Finished the call, getting his phone number. And that was the moment where I was kind of like, because I wasn't feeling great about myself. You know, I knew that the reason he wanted to put time on my calendar to go in and do live calls was, you know, because I was in a drought, you know. I wouldn't say struggling a little bit, but struggling a little bit. And he definitely didn't expect for me to get that sale on that one phone call. You know, like, so if there was any kind of turning point where maybe my confidence was in question, kind of imposter syndrome, asking myself, like, you know, do I deserve to be here? That moment answered all those questions for me. So that was kind of and it was my first job too. So that was what made it that much more impactful. It just all clicked. You get into that flow state. And I don't think in something like that, you can access that flow state if you haven't spent a lot of hours doing the reps, because that flow state comes when the task is not too challenging, but it's also not too easy. It's right in the middle. And I feel like the only way, at least in this context, you could do that is making a lot of calls, understanding how to open, understanding what questions to ask, where to go, where to pivot. And it's like, you know, it's a sales call. It's like, they can say anything on that thing, and you gotta respond, stay poised, tell them what you know, if necessary. That would be the turning point. All right, let's get into football. Let's get into football. What's the first deal here? Come on down. Oh, great. This damn play broke my heart. Hey, man, what I'm talking about, man? You know this, man. Dude, I'm done talking about the Bengals. It's like Joe Burrow says, win 10 games, you're in. We got to win 7 out of the last 9. That's doable. It's like, dude, I'm jarred up. I'm in the jar, on in the jar. I just watched that game, that Bengals-Eagles game. Going to halftime is tied up. The Bengals were the better team in the first half. Even third quarter, one possession game. I will say the turning point in the Bengals-Eagles game came when we're down one possession. We can't get a play call in. We have to burn a timeout in the second half when we're down. And you know you're probably going to need that timeout. We ended up not needing it. Because guess what? The fourth quarter was a motherfucking bloodbath, baby. Embarrassing. Offense was sputtering. Defense couldn't stop a damn... You know, couldn't stop a damn Willie and a Wetware. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done talking about it. There's a clip circulating on the internet right now. It's Andrew Whitworth, who's a damn Hall of Famer, spent most of his career in Cincinnati, talking about how the family who owns the Bengals dealt with this contract negotiation. And basically what he said, you guys, you know, if you're watching this show, you probably love football, which means you probably know what clip I'm talking about, or you can go on X and find it pretty easily. Just type in Andrew Whitworth contract. It's a 7-minute clip, so I'm not going to show it on here. But basically, he was in his mid-30s. He's playing some of the best football of his life. And he was looking for an extension. He's looking for a contract extension. And he went into the front office and he said, look, I want to start this conversation. And he said, yep, okay, you know, we'll get back to you. Keeps asking his agent over the next couple months, like, did you hear anything? Did you hear anything? Nothing. Draft night comes around. They select a left tackle in the first round. Select another tackle, guy that played left tackle as well, left and right. Select another young guy in the third round. And they didn't tell him. They didn't communicate with him. Basically, what I'm learning is the problem with the Cincinnati Bengals is that you've got an absentee owner in Mike Brown. You've got a de facto GM in Duke Tobin. He's not even, GM's not even his real title because Mike Brown still wants that title, even though he's not there day to day, from what I understand. Then You've got Mike Brown's daughter, Katie, who's married to Troy Blackburn. And apparently those two are the nepotistic head honchos in the Cincinnati Bengals front office. And so end of the story is that Andrew Whitworth played some really good ball the next 2 years. He's really upset about the way the draft went down with the two young guys. I can't remember what year it was. And I hope I'm not botching this story. But he was really pissed off about all of it. He goes into his office midway. He goes into Mike Brown's office midway through the season. He says, look, I can't stomach this. It was 8 games in the season. I can't stomach this. This ain't right. I'm playing good football. And Mike Brown said, you know what? We'll get you an extension. And so his agent reaches out to Troy and Katie Blackburn. And they say, we're not a part of this. You know, Mike Brown's the one to give you the contract. You want to talk to him. We're not a part of this. It's like, really? You're going to treat a Hall of Famer that way? Imagine how they treat an undrafted guy. You know, so it's like, I don't even know at this point if I'm going to tune in anymore. I'm sure I will. I'm probably just being dramatic about the Bengals, but the way this organization is run is just sad, and it's a smack in the face. It's a middle finger to everybody in the city of Cincinnati. All the hardworking people that spend their hard-earned money on this team. We've got Super Bowl caliber talent. Think about, we talked about Lions OC Ben Johnson a couple weeks ago on the show. Can you imagine what the Bengals offense would look like if Ben Johnson was the OC? Could you imagine, instead of Zach Taylor, 4th-and-1, we throw a screen behind the line of scrimmage? Are you kidding me? In our own territory. Are you serious? I told you I wasn't going to get on this, and now I'm on this. I'm on this damn Bengals rant train again. It's one of the easiest schedules in the league. You're 0-4 at home. One of those losses came to the New England Patriots, who I stuck up for after that week one loss. I stuck up for the Patriots. They get a win over the Jets. The Jets are struggling too. The Jets actually are kind of a similar, you know, if you look on the field, kind of a similar situation to the Bengals, loaded with talent, just can't make it work. But, you know, I don't know nothing about the Jets front office. I've been a Bengals fan my whole life. And we've experienced this year in and year out. All we have to show for it is a Super Bowl loss. You know what I mean? Still kind of hard to believe that they even did that. It's really sad. It's really sad. Cincinnati sports is a sad story. Hopefully, Terry Francona can give us some hope as the Reds' new manager. And that's fucking sad. I'm already talking about baseball season when this current one ain't even over yet. World Series is still going on. We're already talking about baseball season in Cincinnati. That's how sad this Bengals organization is. That's how piss poor this organization is. And even if you took this segment of the show, you put it in a short video, and you put it in front of Mike Brown's face, or Katie Blackburn's face, they'd probably laugh at it. They wouldn't give a shit. They're making money hand over fist every year. Why? Because these blue-collar, hardworking Cincinnati people keep showing up for this goddamn organization. And I understand where they're coming from, because that's their city. That's their community. It's just really sad. I wish more teams had an executive board like the Packers do. So that way, if a damn owner's acting like this, you kick him out. You get him out. He's fucking complacent. He's not doing his job. Sorry, I told y'all I wasn't going to get on this thing. But that loss, man, I'm finally airing my dirty laundry out about it. The way I felt watching that game on Sunday, especially the fourth quarter, it turned into a beatdown. Sorry-ass game against an Eagles team that I think, talent-wise, the Bengals are better than the Eagles. Talent-wise. The Bengals, of course, did not show that on Sunday. Zach Taylor's play calling and his decision-making is abysmal. And most organizations, they would just fire the head coach, make him the scapegoat, even though the ownership is bad. That happens a lot. But in Cincinnati, that's not even going to happen. We're not going to make any kind of change throughout the course of the season. Zach Taylor probably knows he's sitting pretty. At least for the rest of the season, he's comfortable. Because Mike Brown's lazy, complacent ass. He ain't going to do nothing. He's football royalty, remember? His dad founded the damn team. Big part of the foundation of the game of football. It's like, let's stop living in the past. Okay? Let's not be one of 32 owners, the only owner in the NFL that voted against private equity. You know why Mike Brown voted against private equity? The exact idea I just mentioned earlier. He doesn't want executive boards coming in and saying, you're not doing a good enough job as an owner. We're voting you off the train. That's what happens with publicly traded companies. I've never been in a boardroom, so I'm not sure exactly how it goes down. But, you know, I imagine if the Packers front office isn't getting it done, their executive board boots them. No matter how high up you are. And that's why they've been such a great organization over the years. I'm done ranting about the Bengals. You know, we'll see. It could be a hell of a story. This team could bounce back. But I am guessing they probably won't. All right. I guess we are. Let's see. All right. We got two non-football related clips. Right here, right now. We'll switch gears just real quick.
That's a nine. Was that fucking Wheaties? I fucking hate corn. That's fucking sick. What the fuck's it mixed with? That's an eight. If that's a thanks.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Give them dinner, you can fucking keep it. Is that fucking beans and strawberry? Oh, that's a set. What the fuck is that? That's a 10. Fucking chunky ass gravy. These are awful. Is that noodles? Hey, what the fuck's it? What's that juice? Whoa, what the fuck? Oh, that's fucking sick. Oh. fucking fucking
oh God, I've talked about that guy before, but one of his clips popped up, man. I was like, I haven't done these on the show before. Dude, just so I got this guy on my feed from the very beginning. Harlan County, Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky. And his shit just blew up immediately. I mean, that guy is perfect for the damn job. That's a sick. Fuck that. That's fucking disgusting. All right. What do we got next? All right. So there's a fighter in the UFC. Apparently, one of my buddies who's a fighter told me that this guy can't fight in the U.S. because one of his eyes is like glazed over or messed up. His last name's Magomedov. I think he's a Daggy. Can't remember his first name. It starts with an S, I believe. And he had a double spinning back fist knockout at the fights this past Saturday. Here it is. And on the first, like, in the full speed replay, you can't even really tell that this guy came with a second back fist. It kind of looks like he just, maybe my eyes ain't good enough. I might be in the real time replay. You got to look for that second spinning back fist, at least for me. And so he basically feints the teep. Comes back with it, full rotation, obviously. And then he connected on the first one, and then he was just like, all right, bang, came back with the right spinning back elbow or spinning back fist, I guess. I can't remember which one it is. Here's the thing with the – we just learned these last week, at least how to set them up. And the setup's the exact same. I'm headed to class here in like 30 minutes. I'm actually going to bring that up. This guy feints the teep, and he actually hit him with like a sidekick teep type of thing. Feints the teep, bang. I guess it wasn't enough for him, so he comes, rotates it back. Obviously, I can't do it in the chair. But you can either do a spinning back fist off of that and try to connect right here. Or sometimes, if your range is a little shorter, you can bang them right there, baby. In that elbow. At least in the professional bouts. In the amateur bouts, you cannot elbow somebody. But in the UFC, you can. All right, let's get back to football. I had my clips all jumbled up, and for my editor's sake, you know, we're just going to keep those the way they are. So sorry to mess up the flow, but we're back in football. All right. So this was before Monday Night Football. I didn't see this until today. This is egregious. Okay. Giants right tackle Jermaine Illuminor calls out TJ Watt, dude. Stop. I want to be on an island with TJ Watt all day. Stop, dude. Stop. And then look what happened. Look what happened in the game. This is what you did to yourself.
Pressure off the edge. Watt returns the favor.
Why would you call out the best pass rusher in football, especially when you play for the New York Giants and you're playing the Steelers on the road? And you're playing them on prime time. At least the Bengals stopped talking shit after they started losing. I'll give them that. You see it, you know, Cam Taylor-Britt was talking some trash the first couple weeks, saying something about Xavier Worthy, get beat. Did it again with the college offense thing in Washington, got beat.
And then he stopped. Then he stopped. You're going to call out. You're a right tackle for the New York Giants. I'd imagine, you know, a guy that is a starter, but someone I personally have never heard of. You're going to call out the best pass rusher in the league, arguably one of the most dangerous X-factor players on either side of the ball in all of football. You're going to say, I want to be on an island with him all day. And then Watt probably sees that and says, oh, yeah, I'm going to make this guy a highlight. Dude, I was down on the field in Pittsburgh back in 2019, and I saw TJ Watt. I saw him. It's a different kind of, like, human being. Different kind of human being, seeing someone like that at field level. I'd imagine if I shook his hand, he probably would have crushed my hand, dapping it up. You know what I mean? But it's like, dude, come on. Come on, brother. That's a questionable call right there. All right, what do we got next? We all saw this one.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
So here's the thing. I think we all could agree that coming off a Heisman Trophy, that most of us thought that Jaden Daniels was going to be a promising candidate to have success in the league. Nobody could have feasibly fathomed what he's done through 8 weeks of football. Nobody can. And I think part of the reason that nobody was able to fathom this is because Jaden Daniels, that play that you just saw, that Hail Mary, this is all Jaden Daniels is completely playing with house money at this point. This is why momentum is a real thing in everything. I always like momentum's a real thing in life. Okay. And then sports is a microcosm of life. So you take momentum that someone can accumulate in life and their career and whatever, you know, stuff's going great. And then that stuff going great becomes more stuff going great. And then you just become better at literally everything. Sports is a microcosm of life. So that momentum is even more concentrated. It's even more concentrated because that feedback loop is so much quicker. You understand in sports that there's a winner and there's a loser. There's a result. There's a numerical result most of the time. And so the only way I can explain the way Jaden Daniels is playing, the only way I can explain that Hail Mary to cap off probably the best 8 weeks of football rookie quarterbacks ever played in the history of the game is momentum. It's momentum. I'm not taking away from the fact he's a great player. I believe he's a great player. I'm not taking away from the fact that the coaching staff's done a phenomenal job with him. Dan Quinn has coached a team that made it to the Super Bowl before. Cliff Kingsbury is one of the greatest young minds in the whole game, offensive minds in the whole game. But that Hail Mary play is simply poetry in motion. What is poetry in motion? Flow state. What is flow state? Momentum. That's why it's so important to give these young quarterbacks that may not be playing as well all the tender love and care that they need. Because once they get a couple wins under their belt, once they get a couple of like hallmark plays under their belt, you got a little bit of that momentum. That's when the sauce comes in. That's when a career can really take off. And I think, like I said, sports are a microcosm of life. Things are – the reason we love sports is because it's a condensed story that parallels – a lot of our lives, I believe. The ups, the downs, the good, the bad. And sports, it's just all concentrated. So all of the different feelings and phenomenons are magnified. And I think the Jaden Daniels story is, at least right now, the only way I can explain that Hail Mary's momentum. I've said it like six times at this point. All right. So I thought this was interesting. Interesting little graphic. We saw, we'll get into that later, Anthony Richardson versus Josh Allen. So Anthony Richardson, this today, so for you guys, 2 days ago, the Colts announced that they're benching Anthony Richardson in favor of Joe Flacco, you know what I mean? So I thought I just kind of like had a little drool right there. Yeah, so they're benching Anthony Richardson. And so this is kind of what we're talking about here with momentum. Like, Anthony Richardson might be a story on the other side of getting momentum early. Law of diminishing returns. You think about a stock portfolio and you spend all this time saving. I'm going on a tangent here, but you think about a stock portfolio, you spend all this time saving, and then you're finally ready to retire. You've had some good investment gains over the years, over the course of your work career, and then you retire. Let's say you have some bad luck, and your stock portfolio goes down 20% the first year you retired. Well, the amount of, let's say you retire at 65, and you live till 99. The amount of money you have, let's say when you retire at 65, your stock portfolio goes down 20%. If that happens, as opposed to, let's say you're lucky and you retire at 65 and your stock portfolio goes up 10% the first year you retire, that first year is incredibly consequential in the amount of money you're going to have in your portfolio at age 99. It's called sequence of returns risk. And I am making a connection in real time here in the law of diminishing returns in a stock portfolio and young quarterback careers. And we see more and more like these highly touted guys, these guys wow at the combine. They wow on film for a year or two in college. And then they get in the NFL. These big multi-million, billion-dollar organizations are expecting these 21, 22-year-old guys to come in, play one of the hardest positions in all of sports, do it successfully against the other best players in the sport in the world. And if you don't start good, there's a good likelihood that, you know, we saw it with Bryce Young. He's back in the fold with the Panthers. Hopefully he gets some of his confidence back. Like, it takes a real resilient MF-er to, especially in this league, the NFL, at quarterback, to have a rough start and then claw your way back up to being a franchise player. So all that to say, this is a graphic. Anthony Richardson and Josh Allen. Look at this. Same amount of pass touchdowns, one less rush touchdown, two less turnovers, a better passer rating, 2 points lesser on the completion percentage, and a better win-loss record. And Anthony Richardson gets benched, and we obviously know what Josh Allen's doing in Buffalo now. So all this to say, do young quarterbacks
We know they have higher expectations coming into the league. Due to those higher expectations, do they have a shorter leash? That's my question. I don't know if I can answer that. There's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league right now. Some of them are playing good ball. We just talked about one. Anthony Richardson, not so much. But it looks like his first 10 starts are comparable to Josh Allen. Props to whoever made this graphic. It makes you wonder, are we giving these guys enough of a chance? There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of money being thrown around. Are we giving these guys, these NFL quarterbacks, these young NFL quarterbacks, are we giving them enough of a chance to succeed? Looking at this and looking at how Josh Allen's career has panned out, I don't know if they're giving Anthony Richardson enough of a chance. Now, we'll talk about this in a couple of clips, but there's something that happened in Indianapolis's game on Sunday. So I will not spoil that, but we'll talk about it in a couple of clips.
Yeah, you know, it was probably one of the dirtier plays I've ever seen.
Look at this.
Especially with my own eyes. To you know, think the ball's gone 2-3 seconds and he's still getting rolling. He's on the ground. He's still getting rolling. And, you know, just protect your quarterback. You protect your quarterback no matter what. I think any of the offensive linemen that was in that position would have done the exact same thing. So
here's the thing, dude. Dirty plays there are always going to be dirty plays and there's always going to be dirty players in football. I think as long as you're not intently trying to hurt someone in the game of football, like if your intent is to maybe mess with the guy mentally, do something to bug him or anything to kind of get a competitive edge, get in someone's head, I'm all for that. But this guy for the Saints, I don't even know who it was. Gator rolling Justin Herbert 2-3-4 seconds after the play, and Justin Herbert's offensive lineman jumps in and handled business. You know, I commend that. And it's one thing, even if you're trying to hurt someone, it's fucked up, don't do it. But even if you're trying to hurt someone, at least, like, do it in a pile or something. Like, not after the quarterback's already thrown it and you're the only guy on the quarterback and then you start gator rolling him 2-3 seconds after the play. It's freaking ridiculous. I saw that play. I'm a defensive guy, so I tend to err on the side of defensive guys. That play, that clip pissed me off. Like, it was satisfying to see old boy jump in and kind of lay on top of his ass a little bit. You know what I mean? That's all I have to say about that. All right, here's the Anthony Richardson deal. All right, y'all listen up here.
Real quick, I'm curious when you hear Anthony after the game say he was tired, that's why he had to go out. Like, your thoughts on hearing a QB say that and admitting to it?
Well, I never ran that much, and so, you know, my cardio was probably never tested in the same way that he has. But honestly, I was saying this to Coach Cowher in the studio yesterday. I don't really remember ever seeing it, you know? I don't remember ever seeing a quarterback tap themselves out in that situation. They go with the draw play the next play. I mean, it's probably what they would have done anyhow. So that was a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson gets benched. Forgot to mention Deontay Johnson just got traded to the Ravens today. That's tragic. Stephon Diggs is out for the year with the ACL. That happened in that game, I believe. But that's the reason Anthony Richardson got benched is for tapping out on that play. Like, you don't do that. Matt Ryan said it. He's never seen it before. I don't think it's ever happened before in the NFL. Like, you're a professional. You're getting paid a lot of money to do this job. And it's, A, your job to show up for the team, but, B, your job to be in shape so that you can show up for the team. And you know, Anthony Richardson, he was honest in the press conference. He told him how it was. He's just like, hey, I was tired. But I think it was a bit more than that. I think Anthony Richardson tapping out of that game was a bit more than being tired. And nobody's ever going to admit to it. Maybe you will one day. One day, long time from now. But
I think he was out there seeing ghosts, you know, and I think mentally he just needed a second. And it's like, we talked about how high stakes, how high pressure the NFL is, how much money's being thrown around. Like, you can't. You just can't do that. So that's why I feel like he got benched today for you guys 2 days ago, why you got benched 2 days ago. All right, what do we got left? My damn drive, man. Come on, dog.
Talk that's going on. Max Crosby right there. You see him using his hand. Kareem Hunt getting into it. Mahomes is trying to separate him. This has been going on for years and years and years.
And then dabs him. Dude, I love when these media outlets try to, like, make some kind of exchange more than it is. Like, I think that came from NFL and CBS. Like, this exchange got heated. And then Max Crosby and Kareem Hunt, like, literally dap each other up at the end of the clip. Like, NFL and CBS didn't even bother cutting that part of the clip out. That part of it's fun. Like, I love that part of football. That part of football was what allowed me, I mean, frankly, what allowed me to play at a higher level than I ever should have. The ability to kind of yap and get in someone's head. Normally, I'd try and get in someone's head that was, I knew was more talented than me. And, you know, it's just fun. Like, competitive edge aside, obviously the number one reason you talk is to get a competitive edge, try and get in someone's head, try to get them in the jar. But, like, dude, it's like, you know, like, I'm going to run it one more time. All talk. I'll kiss you on the mouth, you bitch-ass boy. Yeah, you heard me? Yeah, I said I kissed you on the mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Like, if I was trash talking to a brother, I would say some like gay stuff. Cause most of the time the black fellas, they're not into that. It's like, you know, even if you don't mean it, they're kind of like, oh hell no. I know he just ain't say that to me. Just be like, yeah, bro, them legs look good, baby. What you working with? Oh, hell no. Nah. You know, you say some gay, like, I don't know if this is, I don't care about being politically incorrect. You know what I'm saying? This is your boy telling our stories, our experiences. In football, a lot of times, especially if it was a black dude, I would say something gay just to get in their head a little bit. Just like give them a 5% chance that I was maybe serious. 1% chance I was maybe serious. Be like, hey, bro, your complexion popping today, boy. Your skin glowing, baby. You know what I'm saying? Oh, hell no. This man gay. All right, I'll leave y'all with that. Episode 41, In the Jar. Man, if you're still here, I know you love the show. Hit the like button. But more than that, it takes 2 seconds. Hit subscribe. Really helps us out, helps the show. Leave a comment. Let us know what you would like us to talk about. We still got that small audience, baby. But guess what? We're going to keep showing up. Going to keep showing up. You know what I'm saying? I'm low on sleep. Let's get some sleep tonight. Let's get a hard training session. Let's have a hell of a week. And we'll be back for you next Thursday or Friday.
Love to travel? Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.